Jai Hari Jai 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 Radha Madhava Jai Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Balava Girivara Dhari Jasuranandana Prajajana Ranjana Jasuranandana Prajajana Ranjana Jamunati Ravanacharya Jamunati Ravanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamunati Ravanacharya Jamunati Ravanacharya Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasura Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamunati Ravanacharya Jamunati Ravanacharya Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihari Jai Om Vishnupad Mahansa, Padavakachari, Atatata, Sri Shimadas, Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Iskan Founder, Charla Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jai Om Vishnupad Mahansa, Padavakachari, Atatata, Sri Shimadas, Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Nishinga Guru, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Namachari, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki, Anantakuta Bhaktivinda Ki, Prema Ghoshi, Krishna Chaitanya, Pramunichananda, Shri Adwaita Gurudhar, Shri Vasidhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindiki, Shri Shri Radha Krishna, Gopi Gopi Natha, Sham Kuna, Radha Kunda, Giri Govardhaniki, Jamuna Mayiki, Gunga Mayiki, Maya Purdamiki, Jagannath Purdamiki, Vrindavandamiki, Tulsi Maharaniki, Shri Shri Gaurnitayiki, Shri Shri Radha Shamsundariki, Shri Shri Krishna Balaramiki, Sama Beda Bhakta Vrindiki, all glorious assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutalesham Devakti Vedanta Somachanamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Bacharnini Vishesha Shunyavari Paschacha Deshatarine. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vampatim Svakata Krishna. Punyasaram Kirtanahari Antasto Ibadrani Dununati Shrutitsaram. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, the super soul in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Naste prayushya badreshu mitram hirdashe sevaha bhagavati nicham solke bhaktir bhagavati naishtiki. By regular attendance on the classes of the Bhagavatam and rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead is praised with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Aganatanandasya Ganaganashalakaya Chakshu Unmalitam Jainatamai Sri Grav Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes blinded with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 35th chapter, texts 2 to 5. Shri Gopya Uchaha. You don't have it on the screen, so if those of you that have it on your phones, Let me get the meter. Vamambahu krita vamakapalo. Valgita burir atarapita venam. Kumalagu libir ashrita margaham. Gopya irayati yatra mukadaha. Vyomaya navanitaha sahasidair. Vishmitastad upadrai sa lajaha. Kama margana samarpita chitaha. Kasmalam yayur apashmrita nivyaha. Text 4-5. Hanta chicham abalas ninutidam. Harahasa urasi sriha vidbut. Nanda sunar ayamarta jananam. Narmado yarhi kujita venahu. Virdasho vraja vrisha mriga gavo. Venu vaja hrita chetas sa arahat. Danta destat kavala drita karna. Nidrita likita chicham ivasan. So we'll, instead of repeating, we'll just repeat the text 4-5. And then I'll go back to read the translation and purport of 2-3. Hanta. Ah. Chitram. Wonder. Abala. O girls. Shunuta. Hear. Idam. This. Hara. Brilliant like a necklace. Hasaha. Who smile. Urasi. Upon the chest. Stira. Motionless. Vidut. Lightning. Nanda Sunaha. Son of Nanda Maharaj. Ayam. This. Artha. Troubled. Gyanam. For persons. Narma. Of joy. Daha. The giver. Yarhi. When. Kujita. Has vibrated. Venu, his flute, Virundansaha, in groups, Vraja, kept in the pasture, Risha, the bulls, Mriga, the deer, Gavaha, and the cows, Venu, of the flute, Vajja, by the playing, Rita, stolen away, Chetasaha, their minds. Arat, at a distance. Danta, by their teeth. Dasta, bit. Kavalaha, whose mouthfuls. Drita, holding up. Karnaha, their ears. Nidritaha, asleep. Likita, drawn. Chicham, an illustration. Eva, as if, Ashan, they were. Now, despite the fact we don't have the screen, I realize you do have your phones. Those who would like to repeat these two verses, please do. Okay, instead of the Hare Krishna, Shri Kirti Prabhu. Wow. Okay, so we are on text 2. And 3, the gopis Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Ki Jai. The gopi said, when Mukunda vibrates the flute he's placed to his lips, stopping its holes with his tender fingers, he rests his left cheek on his left arm and makes his eyebrows dance. At that time, the demigoddesses traveling in the sky with their husbands, the siddhas, become amazed. As these ladies listen, they are embarrassed to find their minds yielding to the pursuit of lusty desires, and in their distress, they are unaware that the belts of their garments are loosening. Purport. These purports are by Ridayananda Gopi Janabha, Gopi Pranandadana, yes. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami states that this chapter consists of a collection of statements the gopis made at various times as they stood in small groups here and there in Vrindavan. And translation to 4 and 5. O girls, this son of Nanda who gives joy to the distressed bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Vraja's bulls, deers, and cows standing in groups at great distance are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Purport. Again by Hridayananda Maharaj and Gopi Janavallabha. Gopi Pranadana. The word Stira Vidyut, steady lightning, refers to the goddess of fortune who resides on the chest of the Supreme Lord. When the animals of Vrindavan hear the sound of the flute, they become stunned in ecstasy, and thus they stop chewing their food and cannot swallow it. The gopis, in separation from Krishna, marvel at the extraordinary effect of the Lord's flute playing. Srila Sridhar Swami gives the following explanation of the compound word Hari Hasa, which compares Lord Krishna's smile to a necklace. The word can mean he whose smile is brilliantly clear like a jeweled necklace, or he whose smile is reflected from his jeweled necklace. Because while Krishna plays his flute, he bends his head down and smiles. The word can also mean he whose smile, like a jeweled necklace, casts its effulgence upon his chest, or he whose necklaces shine brilliantly, just like a smile. Momagana Tamranda Shalakaya Chakshudanidam Nyanatas Mashikurev Namaha. So again, the translations. The gopi said, when Mukunda vibrates the flute he's placed to his lips, stopping its holes with his tender fingers, he rests his left cheek on his left arm, makes his eyebrows dance. At that time, the demigoddesses traveling in the sky with their husbands, the siddhas, become amazed. As these ladies listen, they are embarrassed to find their minds yielding to the pursuit of lusty desires. And in their distress, they are unaware that the belts of their garments are loosening. Oh, girls, this son of Nanda who gives joy to the distressed bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jeweled necklace. Now, please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Vraja's bulls, deers, and cows standing in groups at a great distance are all captivated by the sound, and they stop chewing their food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting. Can you digest all that? I mean, really, I'll speak for myself. Reading in this 10th canto, these intimate pastimes of these very rarefied understandings of what happens just by Krishna playing his flute. How can I, just a Kanishta, attempting to hear the holy name every morning, how is it that I can possibly enter into this enormous, fathomless depth of Krishna's sentience, spiritual sentience that's being felt by these various living entities? I was given the opportunity to give this lecture, and I said, I've been exposed, because what do I know from such wonderful passage? Therefore, I went, okay, I know what I don't know. At least that I know. So therefore, let me go to those who know better. It turns out, when I did a little research, that these verses are actually, Bishwanath Chakravarti Thakur actually plucks these verses right out of the 10th canto and comments on them in a very detailed way. So when I don't know what to say, when I don't really know where to go, I mean, I do have some experience to share of hearing Krishna's flute. Actually, I can share that. But I've never shared it before, but since I'm in this situation, before I read the most eloquent descriptions and insights as to how these, as elaborations on these descriptive statements from the Bhagavatam, I can tell a little bit about my experience, which Shruti Kirti will appreciate because they actually happened in New Vrindavan. In 1971, I was forced to surrender to Krishna by circumstances. But I was in Chicago, and I couldn't really handle the vibrations of the, at that time, Chicago was the slaughterhouse capital of the world. All the stockyards were in Chicago, so all the cattle were brought to Chicago. Not only that, but my stepfather owned one of the meat processing plants. So I was deeply, you know, under the vibration of a lot of, to say it nicely, just tamagund. So I left on a bus to go to New Vrindavan, which I heard was willing to accept crazies. That time there was only 4 or 5 devotees there. I don't think you were there yet. 71, April of 71. In fact, I know you weren't there because you weren't there. And I left on a bus that was traveling on a Saturday night and a Sunday. That Sunday happened to be Easter Sunday. And I knew that, oh yes, Christ arose on Easter Sunday. So I'm going to go to New Vrindavan and I'm going to leave my body there. I was determined that this was what I had to do. Not by suicide, but I was going to be like a yogi and leave my body. And I arrived by hitchhiking, finally to a dirt road. Finally, I reached Bahulaban, which was just a farmhouse. And there was no one there. And I dare not go inside. And so there was a hill nearby, which later became known as, I believe, Govardhan Hill. But I looked at that hill, and I went up that hill. It was getting close to sunset. I went up, and I sat down in the lotus position. I was thinking of a book I'd read about, written by Kazan Zakas, The Last Temptation of Christ. Yeah. And I knew that the last temptation, I'd left all my wallet, my money in the bus stations on the way, my clothes, I had nothing. Absolutely zero. Except the clothes that I was wearing. Because I had no need for them. I was going to go back to wherever this place. I knew very little about Krishna consciousness, but I knew that this was the ultimate destination of the soul. And so I sat there waiting to be taken back home, wherever that was. I didn't know much about Vaikunthi. I hadn't read Krishna book. I hadn't read Bhagavad Gita. I'd just seen a picture of Krishna in a magazine. I'd been in the temple for a few weeks, and that was about it. So I knew as that sun set, that when the sun set, that's when I was going to leave. So then the sun set, and I was still sitting there. And I had my eyes closed, I had the mudras, I was ready. And, you know, I had this sinking feeling that I just made a very big mistake. You know, because I just, you know, forsaken family, you know, reputation, everything, just to surrender. And at that moment, I still had this desire for mukti, for liberation. And when I realized that I wasn't going anywhere and I was still in this body, I just gave up that desire for mukti. It just left. I was completely empty. It was just like nothing. And in that moment, something happened. It's like a movie. You know, you get the first act, there's the inciting incident. The second act, there's the fun and games. But at the end of that second act, you reach a point where we call it, in script writing, we call it, all is lost. It's all, you got nowhere to turn. You're out of bullets. You know, you're out of energy. No one's there to save you. That's your moment of reckoning. So that was my moment. My moment of reckoning was like, oh, I got nothing. And in that moment, I really haven't revealed this, but I'm going to die soon anyway, so what the heck. At that moment, I heard a flute. I heard a flute coming from somewhere. In that moment, I had been struck kind of like by lightning. I was on my back. And I heard this flute. I opened my eyes, and everything was this blackish blue, this Shamsundar color. It was amazing. And I thought, I must be there, you know, because all I saw was what was above me. Because, you know, it was actually what was really happening was the sun was setting, and that part of the sky was turning a very deep blue, blackish blue color. But, you know, I didn't know that because I just opened my eyes. And I heard this flute, three notes. And I looked around, realized I hadn't left my body. I looked around, and there was nobody near me. And then I eventually got up, and I walked down to the temple, or to the farmhouse. I had nothing. I went inside. The Jagannath Balaram Subhadra was there. Nobody else was around. And I heard a voice. And it says, only by devotional service can I be known. That was that voice. Only by devotional service. And it said it three times. And, you know, I knew that my life was fixed. This was it. But there was one issue that I had. That if I were going to surrender, and I told you this the other day, if I were going to surrender, I said to Krishna, I was sitting alone in the temple, I said, okay, I'll do this. Even though I thought maybe I wasn't going to have many friends in my life because there was just three devotees in Chicago and so far nobody in New Vrindavan, you know. And I said, I'll do this, but on one condition. You know, we Jewish people, we negotiate. You know, so I said, one condition. I said, I have to be dancing and chanting when I'm 75 years old. So, I'm 75. Now, this year I'm 75. Yeah, I got a partial knee replacement. I'm still dancing and chanting. But I'm trying to actually figure out where and when I need to renegotiate before 76 shows up. You know, I gotta talk to Krishna. Can we add 10 years? You know, the time goes so fast. So don't doubt. Krishna's there. His flute is magic. Just like they're stunned. They're like a photograph when they hear this transcendental vibration of Krishna's flute from which all sound vibrations emanate. You know, the Christians say at first there was the Word, and the Word was God. Well, actually,
They have it partially right. The word is, the fact is that there is sound first, but that sound is the sound of Krishna's flute, and it enters into the material tattva, and it mixes with all the different elements one by one to form our material world that we live in. So the sound is, the sound of Hare Krishna contains the sound of Krishna's flute, and we hear it. As we mature in Krishna consciousness, these obviously are very advanced souls, but when you get to the 10th canto, you'll notice that there's some very short purports by Hridayananda and Gopi Puranandana Prabhus. Gopi Puranandana actually lived with me for a year while he was writing some of these things. And not that I had any understanding of what he was getting into, but I'm going to read what other people have said about these verses, because they are very significant verses, as it turns out. So I did some research, so I wouldn't be totally embarrassed, and I want to share it with you. But before I do, I'll give a little pastime. Kalakanta told how Prabhupada was speaking in the Bhagavatam class one morning, and at a certain point in the lecture, he went into a kind of ecstatic trance. You've experienced that. And he was clearly very alert. It wasn't that he appeared in any way to be dozing. His eyes were just closed and looked like he was ruminating very deeply. He was silent for a long time, and everybody in the temple room was also silent. So everyone just sat there. They didn't know what to do, and they were waiting for Prabhupada to do something, and nobody dared make a sound. In what seemed like much longer, but was probably a minute or two, Hansaduta started chanting Nama Om Vishnu Padaya and broke the moment, and Prabhupada shook his head and indicated, go on chanting. So Shrutikirti remembers that, right? And should I read what you say? You want to say it yourself. So he went up to Prabhupada's room. And then this big argument started downstairs outside Prabhupada's quarters, correct? With different devotees. And they were all speculating as what's the proper etiquette when your spiritual master goes into ecstasy on the Vyasasan. Some devotees were saying we should just have sat there and waited for him to open his eyes. Good so far? And others said, no, we should chant Hare Krishna. Chanting Hare Krishna is always proper. So that went on, and this disagreement was there. So then the question was, do we go to Prabhupada and we ask him? Brahmananda, yeah, I'll bring that up. Because you could always get the final answer from Srila Prabhupada. Don't we wish we could do that today? So Brahmananda was, of course, the secretary at the time, and he went to Prabhupada's room and said, Prabhupada, do you know downstairs this morning when you went into ecstasy on the Vyasasan? And Prabhupada said, he didn't say anything, he was just looking. And then Brahmananda said, we were wondering what's the proper thing to do when you do that. Anyone in your own mind make a choice of what you think is the right answer? Should we just sit there and wait for you, or should we start kirtan? Should we start chanting? And what did Prabhupada say? I don't do that very often, but you should just chant Hare Krishna. Yes, he said, and it was like that. Kalakanta says, we were so silly, it would have been just nice to sit there, even if it was an hour, it would have been wonderful, because Prabhupada went into ecstasy, and you couldn't help but on some level feel ecstatic symptoms yourself, just knowing Prabhupada was in ecstasy like that. It was enough to make you feel some bliss. So there's a quote from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, 1325, when the seed of ecstatic emotion for Krishna fructifies in the heart of the devotee, the following symptoms naturally manifest in his behavior. He feels forbearance. He doesn't like to waste any time. He's detached from the mundane. He's free from pride. He lives in full hope. He's always eager to serve. He always has a taste for chanting the Lord's name. He loves to tell of the divine qualities of the Lord, and he loves the holy abode of the Lord. These nine are called Anubhav, subordinate signs of ecstatic love. So in the CC, there's a 789-90, there's descriptions of some of the symptoms of this ecstatic love. Perspiration, trembling, standing on end of one's bodily hairs, tears, faltering voice, fading complexion, madness, melancholy, patience, pride, joy, and humility. These are various natural symptoms of ecstatic love, which causes a devotee to dance. And did I see wonderful dancing this morning of the ecstatic devotees, both here and in the Bhaktivedanta Gurukula in the morning artik? Such wonderful dancing is there. What causes that to dance? These are all symptoms of ecstasy, of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And these uncommon symptoms of ecstatic love indicate the Supreme Person. But some people, like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, for example, could not understand that transcendental nature. Not yet. He was given the kripa, but he was still trying to enter into, what is this? He was perplexed. What is he feeling? Why are these symptoms manifesting? Gopinath Acharya is pointing out, this is the purport to 691 in CC, that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had already seen uncommon symptoms of ecstasy in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These uncommon symptoms of ecstatic love indicated the Supreme Person, but despite having seen all these symptoms, the Bhattacharya could not understand the Lord's transcendental nature. He was considering the Lord's pastimes to be mundane. That was certainly due to illusion, Maya. In the 691 purport, this last line is given, which is really very telling. It said, unless one is connected to the disciplic succession of Madhavendra Puri, there is no possibility of awakening of these ecstatic symptoms. How fortunate we are that we are connected to this disciplic succession. And it is our good fortune and our ecstasy to give others that good fortune. Moving on to the CC 9289 purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that up to the advent of His Holiness Sripad Lakshmipati Tirtha, it was the system in the disciplic succession of Madhvacharya to worship Lord Krishna alone. After Srila Madhavendra Puri, worship of both Radha and Krishna was established. For this reason, Sri Madhavendra Puri is accepted as the root of worship in ecstatic love. Unless one is connected to that disciplic succession, again, there's no possibility of ecstatic symptoms of love. The word Gosani is significant in this connection. The spiritual master who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and has no business other than the Lord's service is called the best of the Paramahansas. So do we have the best? We have the best of the best. Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada once said to us that in the spiritual world is perfect, but then there's more perfect, and then there's most perfect. But in the case of Srila Prabhupada, I declare it boldly, There is no more perfect than the most perfect, Srila Prabhupada. Now, talking about these types of bhavs, which are what is being experienced by these various personalities, there are 33, according to the CC 14167 purport, 33 vyabhachari bhavs, which are bodily symptoms manifest in ecstatic love. And they are as follows. Nevada, which is indifference. Vishada, moroseness. Danya, meekness. Jnani, a feeling that one is in a faulty position. Shrama, fatigue. Mada, madness. Garva, pride. Shanka, doubt. Chasha, shock. Avegya, intense emotion. I'm telling you, if you gave these types of feelings to a writer who's trying to write about, the best books about creative writing do not go into the depth of what I'm reading you now. I've read so many books from Laglos Egri's The Art of Dramatic Writing to the best books on screenwriting and developed character. They don't have a clue as to the subtleties and depth of feelings in these bhavs. Umara, craziness. What's that word in Hindi? Pagala? Crazy, right? Just think he's crazy. Apsmara, forgetfulness. Vyadi, disease. How is disease an ecstatic symptom? Well, one can erupt with all kinds of boils or any kind of rashes, etc. Moha, bewilderment. Mrita, death. Death. Death is an ecstatic symptom. There's people who appear to die, then come back to life. Mrita, that death. Aslasya, laziness. Jaja, infidelity. Vrija, shame. Avahita, concealment. Smriti, remembrance. Vitarka, argument. Argument as an example of an ecstatic symptom. Does anybody here who's listening to this, can they fathom what that means? Do they get what that means? I'm arguing for Krishna. Therefore, I'm ecstatically arguing. Could be. I mean, think about where we are in our development of so-called feelings of ecstasy about Krishna and the subtleties, the depth, the profundities of these various kinds of feelings. What I find from, and bringing this to your attention, is that it makes me feel that much more inadequate. I'm just on the very surface of what is the actual profound realizations in devotional service. And in that humility, maybe if I'm fortunate, if I get the mercy of the pure devotees and the Vaishnavas, maybe I'll understand a little bit of what I'm reading, of what I'm feeling, or maybe I'll get a taste of that. In the Majjhalila 1477 translation, there are 8 symptoms of ecstatic love on the platform of transcendental jubilation. Now, we're just talking about jubilation. And when they are combined and tasted by Krishna, the Lord's mind is completely satisfied. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to the Muslim governor at Pichalda. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami herein states that the governor experienced symptoms of ecstatic love due to being separated from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In 1620, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to the Muslim governor at Pachala. And herein, Krishnadas Kaviraj states that these symptoms cannot be described. Now we're beyond the ability of words. I can't tell you how it felt. I'm at a loss for words. We have that material experience. And here it is described in our CC that there are things that are not even, you can't even say them. You can't even describe them. In the CC 24140, pure devotees manifest spiritual bodily symptoms of ecstatic love simply by remembering and reminding others of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who takes away everything inauspicious from the devotee. This position is attained by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles and then rising to the platform of spontaneous love. So in Krishna, we've all had tragedies in our life. We've had things taken away, whether we lost our passport or we lost our son, whether we lost a loved one, or we lost hope. We've all experienced, at least many of us who are matured, have all experienced those deep, dark nights of the soul when doubts appear like mountains and you don't know whether to turn left or right. And yet, here we have that Hari, he takes away these things for what purpose? So that we become qualified to actually begin to experience these ecstatic symptoms. So, for example, recently we had one sannyasi who the revelations of what he did was revealed. So, big reaction. So much was taken away from this person. So much was taken away. But the higher purpose for taking away things is so that in the future, one can actually be qualified to experience these feelings of ecstatic love. There is nothing done by God, by Krishna, that is not for our welfare. Not a thing. I once asked my very wonderful brother-in-law, who just left India just now with my sister, first time she came in 77 years of her life. I said, George, I got a problem. I have a problem. And George said to me, he says, I don't have any problems. I said, what do you mean you don't have any problems? You're married to my sister. You got big problems. He said, no, I don't have any problems. He says, God owns everything, including the problems. All I have is the next indicated action. He is completely convinced that whatever happens, he doesn't own the fruits. He just has, what is my service to God next? That he's a great Catholic. He follows the Catholic religion. That's a true Catholic. And so when we lose things, when things are taken away, when planes crash and five devotees are killed, when so many things happen, we have to understand this is for our welfare. Because Krishna never does anything that will not bring us back, push us, encourage us, pull us back home, back to Godhead. Anyway, in the Anchalila 13th 127 translation, by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did experience the symptoms of ecstatic love, tears, trembling, faltering of the voice, his eyes filled with tears, his throat became choked, and thus he could not recite the Srimad Bhagavatam. This happens. You know, you think, oh, that's a greater good to recite. No, he was so full of this ecstatic symptom. And in CC 1558, just as before, they saw all the symptoms of transcendental ecstatic love manifest in the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although externally he appeared to be bewildered, he was tasting transcendental bliss within. Srila Prabhupada was so fond of this 10th canto that he instituted the daily reading of this Krishna book in every ISKCON temple. When we took prasad, we heard only one sound, two sounds, the sound of our chewing and the sound of the words from the Krishna book. One devotee always was designated to sit. They would make sure his plate was a heaping plate of prasad so he wouldn't be in anxiety. And we would hear this Krishna book. Krishna book is the summary of the 10th canto. And I want to tell you something about this Krishna book that very few people realize, because it's the only tapes of Prabhupada using that dictaphone that are left. All the other tapes were used, reused, because we didn't want to spend money on more tapes. When Prabhupada dictated the Krishna book, it was transcribed, and the only editing required was if the transcriber didn't hear properly. Do you know what that means? What Prabhupada dictated? Perfect grammar, perfect English for the entire Krishna book, which is an amazing thing because it is philosophy and story together. I remember it came out in 69, and we started distributing that Krishna book. It was actually the first of the books, the big books that we started distributing in New York Henry Street, was that Krishna book. It was like a revolution. But that Prabhupada was very fun. And why did he produce the Krishna book before he finished the Bhagavatam? Because he didn't know how long his life would last. And he was so concerned that his disciples had the Siddhanta, the conclusion, the matured fruit of the Srimad Bhagavatam, that he put that first. And everyone knows the story of how it got printed with George Harrison. It was a very spectacular story. So the Krishna book is there, and in fact he did not get a chance to finish the 10th canto. But it's there in the Krishna book. Actually, Ajita Radi published a 10th canto, 11th, 12th, with verses and purports that Prabhupada referred to. So it does actually exist, but it's incomplete. So, through the Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he wrote commentaries on the entire Bhagavatam, which are called the Sarata Darshani, which means he wanted to show the essence of everything, to see the essence of everything. And he reveals his own internal mood in those commentaries. And Prabhupada refers to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quite often. So in the following passage, Srila Prabhupada mentions an incredible benefit one will receive by reading Krishna's pastimes in the 10th canto. And also, anyone who will read the Sarata Darshini will also attain this wonderful result. Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna's pastimes are so powerful that simply by hearing, reading, and memorizing this book, Krishna, his Krishna book, one is sure to be transferred to the spiritual world. So if you want a ironclad guarantee that no matter what else you do, how many sinful activities you perform, how many rounds you forget to chant, if you memorize the entire Krishna book, there's your guarantee. Back home, back to Godhead. So, I have a lot more things to say, but I'll leave it that a quote from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he said, having achieved love of Godhead, devotees sometimes cry out loud, absorbed in thought of the infallible Lord. Sometimes they laugh, feel great pleasure, speak out to the Lord. Shrutakirti, you have that experience, Prabhupada talking to Prabhupada, right? I mean, Prabhupada talking to Krishna in his room. He's just, sometimes you looked in, he was talking to somebody you didn't see. Huh? He was too busy cooking. And sometimes achieving Krishna's personal audience, they remain peaceful and silent. what we've embarked on in this path of Krishna consciousness, we're just scratching the surface. But still we're feeling the ecstasy in dancing. Because as Prabhupada describes, that ecstasy starts when you start doing Harinam. It's not enough necessarily to get you dancing in the beginning. But as you chant more, Prabhupada describes, the spiritual energy rises up in the body. This is how he describes it. Rises up in the body. How many have experienced sitting down, the melody starts, the bhajan starts, but the bhajan becomes so ecstatic that you have to just get up and your body extends in ecstatic dancing. And this is the potencies that we have. This is the signs of ecstatic symptoms. And I know that many of you may be very advanced in experiencing some ecstatic symptoms, but I'll be happy if I can simply continue in this life to negotiate with Krishna for at least another 10 years of being able to dance and chant ecstatically Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. So any questions or any comments? Comments, please.
Hare Krishna. Yes, nice to see you after a long time. April 1971, when you went to New Vrindavan, they had just gotten that farm, the Bahulaban farm. And we were all in Pittsburgh, Kaladri, myself, and in May, we all went to started the Bahulaban, which became the main farm. So that's the farm we went to. What was the other thing? Oh, yeah, what you told Prabhupada going in ecstasy. That was in Mayapur, 75, the Gaur Purnima festival. So the room was filled, 500 devotees. And if you can imagine, packed Gauranga Hall, 500 devotees, not a sound, not one sound by any devotees until that devotee decided he should start chanting. So, yeah, it was a big that was a big controversy about that. Of course, Prabhupada liked this chanting very much. What he did do when he was asked by Brahmananda, he became very, almost embarrassed in the way he said it was. I don't do that very often. It was an embarrassment that he exposed such ecstasy. But during that month, it happened in 5 different temples during that month, so a lot was spilling out. And for us, of course, that was a great ecstasy, yes. Very nice. So you said you were distributing books, the Krishna book. Well, what year was that?
I was thinking we were printing at that time the little Prahlad booklets at that time. And we were... It might have been in 72 out of L.A.
72.
I think 72 out of L.A.
I went to get Brahman initiation in May 1972, so we all went to Los Angeles, and there were devotees from temples all around, and we were all given specific zones within Los Angeles where we were allowed to knock on doors. And that was a very big Krishna book. That was the super big books, you know. That was a very big, but very popular as well.
Any other comments or questions?
Nice class. Thank you.
Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi.
Thank you. Medicine.